Good evening, anglers. Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 3rd of August. Yes, the year does race by, doesn't it? Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Tackle in Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear and then show you how to use it. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, on tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out some river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council, Genesis Energy, Bay of Plenty Regional Council. We talk to Peter Scott. Peter is the president of Sport Fly Fishing New Zealand. And as always, we will finish with the fly fishing tip of the week. Some fly fishing news. The moon phases. The next new moon will be on the 11th of August. A new moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 0 degrees. At this time, the moon does not appear to be illuminated. What does it mean? Well, a couple of days either side of the new moon will offer the best fishing for freshwater anglers. Start planning your trip away now. Remember the saying, new moon fisherman's favourite, full moon fisherman's folly. The Sporting Life Winter Fly Festival is back on again. We spoke about this the last couple of weeks. It's next Saturday, the 11th of August in Turangi. You get to try out all the latest in fly fishing techniques and fly fishing gear. And all you have to do is turn up, obviously, in Turangi and just register online by going to the Sporting Life Turangi website. Now, as we spoke last week as well, many rivers have closed now and it is prohibited to fish them. Different regions have different rules, and it is the angler's responsibility to know the regulations and to have a current licence. Now, the best way to do this is just go to the Fish and Game website, fishandgame.org.nz, and select the region you wish to fish. All the information is quickly and freely available. Now, if you're fishing the Taupo Turangi region, you will need a separate licence, and the season start and finish dates are different. All the information for that fishery is on the Department of Conservation website, which is doc.govt.nz, Department of Conservation. Now, if you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events, fishing reports, or any comment about fly fishing in general, just contact the Hooked on Fly Fishing Radio Show by emailing me, Colin, on col.pamatextra.co.nz. That is col.pam@xtra.co.nz. All right, let's look at some weather with Met Service. For those wishing to go saltwater fly fishing, the Auckland Marine Forecast. The situation. A slow-moving trough of low pressure is forecast to lie over the North Island and eastern South Island through to Monday. This trough is expected to move away to the east on Tuesday, while another trough approaches the country from the west late Tuesday. Forecast for the Manukau and Waitemata harbours Saturday. Variable 5 knots. Southwest 10 knots developing in the afternoon, sea slight. Possible areas of low cloud in the morning and evening, otherwise fine. And the outlook for Sunday, southwest 15 knots, rising to 20 knots for a time, cloud increasing and a few showers developing. Met Service Waikato, Saturday. Fine spells with areas of cloud or fog morning and evening. Afternoon showers possible, rain developing overnight, southwesterlies. Sunday in the Waikato, periods of rain possibly heavy, gradually easing, southerlies. If you're fishing the Rotorua area, Saturday, Periods of rain developing from afternoon with possible heavy falls, southwest breezes. Sunday in Rotorua, rain with possible heavy falls at first, gradually easing southeasterlies. The Taupo forecast, Saturday, rain gradually setting in from morning, light winds. Taupo region on Sunday, periods of rain easing by evening, light winds. Now, if you're fishing the Whanganui in the Whanganui River in the Taumanui area, your forecast for Saturday, excuse me, morning low cloud or fog, then becoming overcast with some light rain at times. Rain becoming widespread and heavier overnight, light winds. Taumanui on Sunday, periods of rain, possibly heavy, easing by evening, southeasterlies. For our South Island listeners in Canterbury Plains region, Saturday, areas of low cloud or fog with possible drizzle about the southern coast, clearing to fine about midday. Evening high cloud, light winds. Sunday on the Canterbury Plains, partly cloudy with scattered rain in the north, light winds. Thanks to Met Service for those reports, we do appreciate that. Let's look at some river levels. The Puniu River is 23 kilometres south of Te Awamutu, and remember that above Seafront Road is closed, downstream of Seafront Road is open all year. Puniu River is late this afternoon is 8.9 metres. It's flowing at 13 cubic metres per second. Too fast to fish. Dirty. Mangatutu's closed, remember that? The Ohanamuri River measured at Karangahaki between Pairua and Waihi is at 12 metres and falling. It's flowing at 8.3 cubics. That's down on last week. The Tauranga Taupo River at the southern end of Lake Taupo is at 0.4 of a metre, same as last week. And the Waipa River measured at Otiwa is at 75.9 metres and falling. It's flowing at 10 cubic metres per second. Dirty, it's too fast to fish. Now remember that the Waipa River above Toa Bridge is closed. The Nongataha River is open below the state highway, and it's currently at 0.84 of a metre and dropping. Whakapapa's closed. The Whanganui River measured at Piriaka is at 35 cubic metres per second. It's down from a high of 40 cumics. And the Tongariro measured at Turangi is at 30 cubic metres per second, down from 32. Now, as we heard in the forecast, rain is expected all over the show this weekend. These rivers will rise rapidly after that. Enjoy the fishing, but you need to be very careful when wading. Thanks to Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council and Genesis Energy for the information. Excellent websites, updated continuously. Okay, we're going to have a very quick break and then the first of our fishing reports.
Devil's
Lucinda Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Bert Robinson is a long-time Rotorua resident and an even longer-time Rotorua angler. He's an expert angler, don't you worry about that. Bert lives, works and fishes in the Rotorua region, and that's exactly why we want to talk to him before you fish the weekend. Good evening, Bert.
Good evening, Colin.
How you well?
Yeah, hanging in there, one foot after the other.
I've been looking at your weather. I'm afraid to tell you that you've got rain through to next Friday.
Yeah, well, that's actually perfect fishing.
Well, it brings the fish in, yes.
Yeah, it does tend to, particularly for falling barometer. Fish have already started to move in. It's been quite good. Last Sunday was a wet day, and Rotorua Anglers Club had a brilliant time out at Lake Rio for kite, catching fish off Ashbert Road at the first boat ramp. So that was quite rewarding for them, but those who stayed over or went back on the Monday didn't do anywhere near as well. So they're coming in and going out pretty quick. Okay. It's a matter of being there at the right place at the right time, as it so often is with fishing, of course.
That's right. How many times you stood beside a chap on the river and he says, you should have been here last Tuesday, mate?
Yeah, well, there's a very good book which I did have a copy of, and someone borrowed it and I never got it back, and it was called You Should Have Been Here on Thursday. It's a very old book, and it's all about fishing. So yeah, it's quite a good book.
You just can't predict it. You just got to be there.
No, you certainly can't.
Yeah, if only we could talk to the fish, eh?
Yeah, well, what we're going to do is we've got to look at the conditions that that are required to stimulate them, get them moving. Yeah, falling barometer has always been a good basis for fish to come on the feed. Okay. A rising river is usually not too bad, but a falling river is often better. And we've found that with Ngāi Tahāra and streams like that, you get... during the spawning season, you get your brown start running first, and then they taper off over the peak of till the peak of the flood, and as it starts dropping down again, they start moving again, and rainbows just tend to go. They're crazy animals, really. But you know, a rising river often will. I have found in the past that it's been not too bad fishing.
Yes. Now, have you found that they feed up before a storm? Like as a barometer falls and indicates a storm, they chomp up then?
Generally do, yeah. They feed like crazy. So I remember when I was a kid, we used to have a barometer on the wall and just go and tap it, and it would move to whatever the barometric pressure of the air was. And if it started falling, then I was out the door and gone, and invariably I'd come back with, you know, good numbers of fish.
Yes.
If it was a rising barometer, it didn't seem to do too well.
Okay.
If we're starting fishing at a reasonably young age, it was good to learn these things back then, because it's carried me over the years, you know, and you've got to... It's not just about going out on the water and chucking a line out, whatever form of fishing you do. It's about thinking about the time of the year, what sort of bugs likely to be around, the life cycle of bugs. You know, most of them are aquatic. Even the cycle of freshwater crayfish, and they know that a lot of the fish at the moment coming in, particularly from Okatina and places like that, are chock full of crayfish.
Okay, nice.
Coda, and that's nice. Possibly because it's probably they're either growing out of their shells, so they're in soft shell, like sea crayfish, but it could also be the fact it could be mating time for them. Mm-hmm. So I haven't quite worked that one out yet. I haven't even thought to have too much of a look at it, but certainly there's large numbers of coda being found in the stomachs of fish.
Okay.
At the moment, and generally they coda don't come out when the trout are around, so there must be some reason that's pushing them out.
Okay. A lot of anglers, successful anglers over a long period of time, they keep a diary.
Yep.
About seasons, rivers, flows, temperature.
Yeah, wind direction, air temperature, water temperature, rain, absolutely everything they can. Some even go for the amount of length of day, that sort of thing.
Yes.
And it's great to look back on, and you can pick through it and think, well, that month was a pretty good month for me last 3 years, so it should be a good one for me again this year, and away you go. It certainly does help. Memory's a fickle thing. The older you get, the more holes in it they become. So.
Yeah, well, we talked to Martin Langlands, a guide in the South Island, and he's been guiding for 20-something years, decades. And he's got a very extensive library of what river, what day, what temperature, you know.
Yep.
Stella Gordon down in Turangi, Turangi Ita, the store there, she's done the same for decades. She can tell you on the 4th of August what the weather was like, you know. She knows this. You know, people build it up over periods of long periods of time.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it takes a huge amount of time to actually do that and to keep the stuff. I moved around quite a bit over the years and fished different areas, and I initially had all good intentions and started to do diaries and stuff like that, but it just became a bit much, and then when moving around, it kind of got lost and that sort of thing. So, but I know there's anglers out there that have a significant amount. There was an angler guiding out of Auckland many years ago. He's since gone down to the South Island, an English guy, and he had everything about access points, who to call, what to take with him, and often he'd be out in the back block somewhere and he'd drop off a couple of loaves of bread and a newspaper, and that was very well received in some cases.
I understand. Now, you're talking about you've fished a lot of places. You've fished in America, I know.
Just quickly. And China.
Sorry?
And China.
And China. Okay, well, I didn't know you'd been to China.
Got to keep some secrets.
Okay. Now, tell me about river fishing in America to river fishing in Rotorua. Are there major differences, or is it pretty much the same?
There's a lot more people spin over the where I in the area I was up in Washington State. And yeah, I don't know if you've ever gone to a river and you've seen the bottom of the river is just black, and then you throw a lure out or a line out, and then you see the silver bottom as the fish move out of the way. Well, it's like that with salmon in particular, but I've fished lakes as well, glacier lakes and stuff like that, for various species of fish, cutthroats and rainbows and stuff like that. I've caught carp on the flyover in America. They seem to prefer, readily take a flyover there, which they don't tend to do here quite so much.
Yes.
Although there's not as much pressure, but I tell you, if you hook into a carp, you soon know about it. I hooked a koi one night, actually in the mouth, so I took my fly, and it was only 6.5 pound, but it was like it was about a 40 pound fish on the end of it. It was just crazy fish. I had to chase it down the river.
Is that right?
So, you know, they do fight really well. I've caught a turtle, snapping turtle, on a fly. Wasn't allowed to bring it into the boat. There was all these little black things floating in the water, and I said to the guys, well, what are those? And he says, well, hey, turtle, boy. I said, oh, yeah, I'll see if I can catch one. He said, oh, you won't catch one. Anyway, I caught one. He said, got it to the boat. He said, you ain't bringing that in here, boy. I said, why is that? He said, it's a snapping turtle. It'll take your fingers off. And that was snapping away, boy, I tell you. It had a beak on it like it was a pair of scissors. But, yeah, there's salmon, various types of salmon over there, and there was hunting cutthroats, which is probably my favourite fish, actually, even above a rainbow or a brown trout. They were amazing. They did have lakes with tiger trout in them. They bred them specifically. And I was actually involved with the breeding of them over there, quite a few, especially on the smaller lakes. I was doing salmon surveys up on the Columbia River. This guy comes in and he's got a 54-pound quinnet salmon.
Goodness me.
It was 750 miles up the Columbia River and gone over 11 dams and still weighed 54 pounds.
Yeah,
so it must have been a monster. They lose about 25% of their weight when they get to that point.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of triploid fish over there. There's on a lake above where I was, there was no fish ladder up to it, and they had triploids in those. okay. that lake, and a 20-pound triploid was a baby.
Goodness.
So that's quite interesting, and I have heard rumours that there's talk of trying to get triploids around a couple of places in New Zealand.
Is that right?
Mm.
Oh, good. What, would fish and game be involved in that?
Oh, or? Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah. Not illegal, you mean?
Oh, no. No. Okay. Well, they take a bit. There's two ways of creating a triploid. It's three sets of chromosomes. So they're sterile. So because they don't become sexually mature, they just keep growing. And it's either done by pressure or done by electric shock. And they've got it down pat over in the States, and you know, they get these triploids coming out, and the growth rate, they just eat. I know a couple of guys there were using a fish called a shad. They don't just use them for things like sturgeon.
Okay, yes.
But they use them for triploids as well. Okay. And, a 4 or 5 pound shad is quite interesting to use as a live bait. It shows you the size of the fish.
So are Fish and Game talking about this actively or just mentioning?
I believe they're investigating, but I haven't heard much back. I know there was going to be a meeting before Christmas to decide how far advanced they were going to go with this. They're easy to create. And because they don't breed, they're not going to infest anywhere.
Yes.
And it could be interesting. And,
would they eat little rainbows?
Oh yeah, they eat anything. They'll eat catfish, they'll eat carp, they'll eat rudd, any fish around. And the bigger they get, the bigger the fish they'll eat.
Well, put them in the hydro lakes in the Waikato, Arapuni, Karapiro, something like that.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't put them in Karapiro, but certainly Arapuni could do with a bit of a boost, and some of the other, I don't think Eastern Region would be involved, interested in putting them into the hydro lakes further up, but yeah, their growth rate's pretty quick, and they just keep growing and growing and growing, much like a tiger, in effect, but with tigers being cross-species, that's the difference between a triploid and a tiger is that the tigers are actually a cross species, so they got a different number of chromosomes in each of the parents, so it makes them sterile. They do tend to be the only ones I've ever seen are males. They do go to the male side, but they're sterile.
Okay.
But it does happen in the east coast of America, Pennsylvania, and places like that where they have naturally occurring tigers. But they can either follow like a mule, basically donkey and a horse cross.
Okay, yes.
So the mule is the result of that. It's not as big as a horse. It's bigger than a donkey. It's sterile. It's a hell of a lot more stubborn than a horse. but stronger than a horse, apparently. So it's quite interesting. They can't reproduce, but they just. The thing about it is that they look either like a donkey or they look like a horse, or similar to. And the same with the tiger trout. They either follow the traits of the brook char or they follow the traits of the brown trout, which they crossed with.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes for both of them are quite aggressive fish. Brook char are extremely aggressive. They don't do well in competition with rainbows in particular. They will survive relatively easily with browns, but they get pushed out by rainbows and to the point of extinction. And that's what I think that's what happened in Blue Lake here in Rotorua.
Mm-hmm.
They put several thousand into the lake and they just disappeared completely.
Mm-hmm.
They also tend to prefer a slightly alkaline lake. But they've got them in Rotomar here, and they vary in size significantly, but I've seen some absolute lunkers. And generally, the colder the water, the longer they live. So and, of course, they continue to grow, brown trout in particular, continue to grow after spawning.
Okay.
Whereas rainbows about 60% die, and once they've spawned, that's the length they're ever going to be.
Okay, yeah. All right, thank you, Verbert. That's interesting. Now, let's have a roundup before we go of your region. How's the rivers and lakes going in Rotorua?
Well, I've had some good runs up the Nongataha. I imagine there'll be some good runs in the morning. We haven't had too much rain, but it was a bit expected. Yeah. Be worth a look up there, up to Stateaway 5 after that is closed, of course. Waitati, you didn't have any fish come through at the same time as the Nongi, but that could change this weekend. So certainly, with them being so close together, it's worth it. Rerefokaidu off the boat ramp on Ashpit Road. Brett Road is certainly worth a look if you're out that far. Okaro's another one, been producing some good fish. And it's late in the season, but there are still fish coming in above the control gates, which is closed at Okiri. At the moment, it's open downstream, but I saw no fish in there yesterday, but a huge number of reds all over the place. Late this afternoon, I saw fresh fish in there. They're pulling out three-year-old fish in amazingly good condition, particularly the hens are really bulging. So probably look at Ruoto, definitely, and Okataina. And there's several places on Rotomara if you're out that way, worth a look. Right away, who's another one at Kennedy's Bay, is worth a look. So there's still plenty of water available for fishing, and of course we've only got, what, about 7 weeks?
1st of October,
8 weeks?
Yes, 8 weeks, yes.
Yeah, before the new season. So, of course, that area down below, above the control gates at Okiri Falls, opens on the 1st of October. And invariably, it fishes very, very well, usually till, well, it depends on the water temperature, but quite often right through to mid-November, sometimes later. But I think this year is going to be early and hot summer.
Yes, I see that prediction by NIWA. Yes.
Yeah, I picked up on that earlier in the year, but it's been confirmed, so I'm thinking we should have some pretty good summer fishing, and certainly worth getting out there and getting a bit of practice in now, and then hammering the fish when the summer finally arrives.
All right, there you go, anglers. Bert Robinson's just given the tip. Get out there and go fishing now. Get ready for summer. So there's a damn good excuse. Bugger the lawns, go fishing.
Oh, absolutely. Still get to my lawns. And, of course, you've got an amazing view out there at the moment. Late last month, we had 4 of our planets available in the sky.
Yes.
Mars is still available. Saturn and a couple of the others were available, easily seen too. I'm just looking at one at the moment. I think that one is Venus. And then Saturn is the other one up there, and then Mars. And then there's another one beyond that. So, yeah, there's plenty to see. A few meteors coming through. It's always a bit of fun.
Get out there and enjoy it. Bert,
absolutely.
We do appreciate the catch-up. That was marvellous. Thank you for that. Now, your contact details, please.
Yeah, I'm on 0272896079. Just give us a call or flick us a text, and I'll get through onto giving you an update on what's happening around the area.
Well, there's the offer, anglers. Bert Robinson, Rotorua Fly Fishing, 0272896079. Bert, lovely to catch up. Thank you for that. Catch you next week.
All right, I'll be here somewhere.
Thank you, Bert.
Okay, see ya.
Mr. Bert Robinson. Interesting about the triploid fish and stuff. See what we'll keep an eye on that. Okay, quick break. More fishing stuff in a minute.
I'm
listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. Rod and Reel Newmarket have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Don't you worry about that. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear, and more importantly, they will show you how to use it. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Peter Scott is the president of Sport Fly Fishing New Zealand, and Peter has represented New Zealand in many international fly fishing events. He is an ex-New Zealand national fly fishing champion and a very well-known fly fishing personality. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening.
How you well?
Yes, very good.
Welcome back to the Hooked on Fly Fishing radio show.
Oh, it's great to be back.
Thank you. Sport Fly Fishing New Zealand, when did all that start?
It must have been in, I'm not 100% sure, but in the 70s or...
Okay, so a long, long time ago.
Dave McClellan started it off to...
Yes.
70s or 80s anyway.
Okay. And what does Sport Fly Fishing do?
Our main goal is to promote sport fly fishing. So just the competition side of fly fishing.
Okay.
And we have events, different events around the world, and juniors and seniors and masters now, and Commonwealth and Worlds, and
okay.
European Championships.
Okay, so
pretty big overseas.
Okay, yeah. So you organise regional and national championships, the aim of being to pick teams to represent New Zealand.
Yes.
Okay, so it's basically over the summer months, is it?
Yes, I think the first one this year starting September or November, and then we go right through to April.
Okay. And so an angler could fish, like, say, a Wellington Regional Championships or a Hawke's Bay or an Auckland, whatever, and you get points, and this all goes towards the national championship?
Yeah, so the top 20 point scorers from around the country qualify for the national. So there's, you have to fish two rivers or two lake events to qualify for the River Nationals or the Lake Nationals.
Okay.
Those scores are combined along with your regional points to select the team.
Okay, I understand. How many anglers compete in these events?
Well, so it just depends. Sometimes the rivers are only 18 to 20 odd because of the size of the venues.
Yes.
And sometimes the lakes, we get into the 40s or 50 competitors, and some of the pairs competitions gets quite big sometimes.
Okay, that's good numbers, isn't it? I suppose the problem you have, because the waterways are open to everyone, you can't block off a whole section of, say, the Tongariro River, can you?
No, we might upset a lot of people. We, even in any of our competitions, we try and have them where there's either room for other people or where we're not on too high a public water.
Okay.
And but we don't own the river, so the public can fish in our beads.
Okay, yeah. You can't do anything about it. You just got to put up with it.
Yes.
Yeah, it probably doesn't happen a lot, though, does it?
No, it doesn't normally.
People respect it, know about
sometimes
it.
Sometimes you can say, well, could you give us a chance? We've only got 200 yards. Do you mind just fishing up a bit further?
Yeah, I do.
Most of the people are very good about it.
Most fishermen are, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay. Now, where are the New Zealand teams competing this year? What's happening?
In August, we're off to Belfast, Northern Ireland, for the first time to fish the Commonwealth Championships.
Commonwealth Championships, yeah.
So that should be exciting, as long as you don't get too bad a headache from the Guinness, I suppose.
Well, that's up to the individual angler, surely.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was compulsory.
Yeah, it could be, especially if they're sponsors.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
And then the Worlds are in Italy, in Trento, just out of Milan.
No, I know the region very well. I spent a lot of time north of Milan.
It's supposed to be very pretty.
It is very pretty indeed. I wouldn't mind living there permanently myself. But there you go. Okay, so that's the World Champ. We've got a team going to the World Championship?
Yes, we have.
Okay, who's in that team? Can you tell me off the top of your head? Or you
Brendan Lyons is in the team from Auckland.
I know Brendan, yeah.
Tim Anderson from Hamilton.
Yes.
Mark Clasper from Auckland.
I know Mark, yeah.
Paul Baker from Wellington.
I know Paul, okay, yeah.
And boy, I'm struggling.
One more.
Yeah, I'm struggling.
Johannes?
Oh, Johannes Krill.
I know, Johannes. Okay, so Brendan Lyon, Tim Anderson, Mark Clasper, Paul Baker, Johannes Krill. That's a pretty experienced lineup.
Yes.
Johannes has fished all around the world. Brendan's good. Yeah, so, okay, that's a pretty good team.
I think they've all been to at least one or two worlds,
yeah. Yes, yeah, so, no, that's good. Now, that's on 17 to 23 September, I think.
Yes.
Middle to late September. Okay, in Italy. Good luck to those guys. When do they fly out? A week or so before that, I suppose?
More week, 2 weeks before, probably.
Okay.
Probably try and have at least a week's practice.
Yeah, cool. Now, the Commonwealth, we've got a team represented in the Commonwealth Fly Fishing Championships in Northern Ireland, to early September. You fly out late August. Who's in that team?
The super senior citizen, Herzl.
Neil Herzl, is he a fisherman or a captain?
He's both.
Okay, captain and fisherman, yeah.
Yep. And Johannes Krill again.
Johannes,
he's representing us. Johan Ventner.
I don't know Johan Ventner.
Yes, it's his first trip.
Okay.
So that's going to be big. He's a very good lake fisherman and improving a lot on his rivers. But
okay.
And myself, yes, I am going away for another Commonwealth.
Trip of a lifetime.
Of a lifetime, yes.
And you've been saying that to your lovely wife for, what, 20-something years now? I have to go. It'll be the trip of a lifetime.
I've just heard her laughing in the background, actually.
She's a lovely lady. You're a very lucky man, I'll tell you that.
Yes, there's not many that good, mate.
That's right. So Peter Scott, Johannes Krull, Johan Ventner,
and Craig Guthrie from Wellington, EUA. Yep.
Okay, I don't know Craig.
He's the vice president of sport fly fishing.
Oh, there you go. So a couple of newbies, relatively new, and three very experienced anglers. That's a pretty good team again.
Yeah, three oldies and a couple of newbies.
How do you expect to go?
Well, it's, totally different fishing, but yeah, I think we could go all right. Yeah, it's, I don't know where we finished in Canada last time we went away. We were fifth or sixth.
Okay, well, that's good, yes. You'd always put a dollar on the locals in these sort of competitions?
Yes, it certainly has a big advantage, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, why do you say it's completely different? Fishing a river and fishing a lake is pretty much the same anywhere in the world, isn't it?
No. Actually, Ireland does have wild fish.
Yes.
But more wild browns, and they're much smaller than our fish. And so it's very unusual that they... Most countries, it's all stock fish.
They
don't have wild fish like we do.
Okay.
And they behave differently.
All right.
So different insects, different time of the year, and they fish. They have different methods.
A chap I know, Brent Condon, is fishing in Ireland. He's fished in Ireland for many, many years. A New Zealand boy. I met him at Waitemata Rugby Club when I was coaching up there. Maybe you should get a hold of him. And he's just returned from Ireland, a very experienced fisherman in Ireland.
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have got a couple of good guides. So.
Okay.
So whenever the teams go away, we hire guides.
Yeah.
Because we have to learn a lot very fast.
Okay.
For the world teams and everyone that goes. I mean, they might be the best fishermen, that... from our society fishing for the country, but we still hire guides to learn quickly. Local people, you need that information.
Yeah, local information is very important, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, especially time of year, insects, and what's actually living on the bottom here, I understand. Now, you say the Worlds are in Italy in September. Fantastic venue there. Next year, they're closer to home in Tasmania, is that correct?
Yes, they are.
Will we be sending a team there as well?
Yes, okay. We will be.
And will they be chosen from the upcoming regionals?
They have been chosen.
Oh, okay. So you choose like months in advance so they can save up and prepare and
stuff. Usually 18 months in advance. So you get the chance to raise funds, to prep. So this Tasmanian trip, we're hoping we have raised money to help send three or four of the guys to Tasmania this Christmas. Oh, so that Worlds are in late November, early December.
Okay, yes.
So we hope to send some guys over to practice the venues the year before, time of year.
Good idea. Excellent, yeah.
So that's what they get the opportunity to do in Europe, because they all go and fish the countries, so it's a bit far to us. It's a long way for us to fly to Europe to practice the year before.
Mind you, if you said to Lindley a trip of a lifetime, she'd probably let you go.
Yeah. Johannes is in Italy at the moment practicing.
I know.
So, if you... But, I suppose he's single, so that could tell you, what happens when you go too often.
Yeah. Now, how do people follow the New Zealand Fly Fishing Team and these exploits all around the world? You've got a website and a Facebook page?
Yes, there's a website and a Facebook page. So Sports Fly Fishing New Zealand will come up on nearly any search engine you look at.
Okay.
And certainly people are welcome to come along. We always short of controllers, which you just measure the fish and put them back in the water, so it's not too hard a job to do. And can go along and watch as a spectator.
Okay, I understand.
But we just don't wear a vivid white or bright pink shirt or something. But if you just follow behind the fishermen, and they'll probably explain what they're trying to do, and you can watch how they fish.
And watch some of New Zealand's best fishermen and women. Okay,
yes,
so the website...
You can learn a lot.
Yeah. The website is sffnz.org.nz, Sport Fly Fishing New Zealand. .org.nz. Peter, we've got to go. Thanks for talking to Hooked on Fly Fishing. Good luck in Ireland, and let's have a catch up when you get back.
Okay.
Thanks,
Peter. Great.
Thank you. See
you. Thanks, Phil. Bye now.
Mr. Peter Scott. Okay, we've just got time for. Let's have a look. Yes, we have for the fly fishing tip of the week. Look for fallen trees and stumps when lake fishing. These structures provide shade and shelter for fish, along with concentrations of food. Fish these areas first. Hooked on Fly Fishing will be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.